What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Let's Grow.Work, hashtag LFG fam, where success is in the details. I'm your host, Justin Bonnet. Today's special guest, we got Aaron. Aaron, go ahead and introduce yourself.
What up, everybody? My name is Aaron Knox. I own a company called Red's Detail Company in Marietta, Georgia. I'm a global product tester for multiple companies, and I'm on the television show Dirty Old Cars on the History Network.
That's awesome, dude. And I'm so excited to do this. Like I was trying to say earlier, is like, I don't know you personally. We've never really talked other than Facebook Messenger. And as soon as your face pops up on the screen, you got a Shine Supply hoodie on. I'm like, all right, well, I don't have my, and so let me go run and change real quick. Cause I've,
yeah, I love it every time.
Got to represent.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
So, a little bit about your story. How long have you been detailing? What got you into it?
Oh, dude. It's weird. I swear. And I'm sure there's a couple dudes out of the industry that'll like be able to relate to this. Like I was trying to recall how long I've been doing this. And then, like at this point, like I'm coming up on 3 decades.
So you know, started.
Yeah. I just like, okay, we'll call it at that. You know? A long ass time, damn it. You know, like you're like too long. Yeah. And then what was the other question? I'm sorry.
What got you into it?
Detail. So this is so funny. I've been asked this a couple of times. Genuinely, 100%. I just needed a job.
Yeah.
I had just gotten my work permit. I was like, 15. Obviously, I wanted to drive. My dad had a 200 SX, which I don't know if you ever, you remember those cars? They had the 300Z motors in them. Like, and they were sleepers. So I was dying to drive that thing, but I got stuck with a minivan instead. And I don't know, my grandfather was military. He was in the Navy. So if you've lived in, a military-style family, it wasn't, super, super, but you definitely were raised a certain way, And from, I had a great childhood, but like from when I, when you grow hair on the gonads in my family, it's like, you talk to your mother a certain way, you're going to get hands, you show respect. And when you're a certain age, you go out and get yourself a job. Cause I'm not giving you a damn thing. So I wanted to hit the gate running, dude.
Right.
And, it was weird. Like, I was just like, I saw this car wash. It was like a local tunnel swirl-o-matic spot, but they had like a detached two-bay little shop and it said detail on it. And I was like, oh, that would be cool. And I love cars. Like, my grandfather built hot rods. So it's obviously in the DNA. And I was like, oh, I get to be around cars and I make money. That's great. So I went up and applied and I got it, which was awesome, but they started me out as the finish line guy who just basically cleans windows and puts lipstick on tires. And then I was like, man, this is some bullshit, but I had to work and show that I was dedicated and grind. And then I guess that's when you get rewarded for the detail spot. So I started detailing and then lo and behold, my manager at the time was Brazilian. So he spoke Portuguese.
Okay.
And I don't know if you've ever tried to converse with somebody that speaks Portuguese, but it's one of those languages that just sounds like you're about to get your ass handed to you.
Okay.
So he could be just like, yo, we got to grab that trash, And then you the way it sounds, it's like, Jesus. So I always thought this, and he knew capoeira. So that didn't make it any better. So I'm always on alert. I'm always oh my God, this kid's going to beat my ass. I thought I was going to get beat up. So I didn't want to forget anything or miss anything.
Yeah.
And that's when it's just my mind switched. That was it. That was it. So every single car I touched was going to be better than the next.
Awesome.
And better than the next. And that's how it all began.
Couple
just a couple, yeah, look, with Greer on the corner.
Yeah. And dude, shout out to your shop, man. I've never been inside, but I have family that lives out in Dallas and Paulding and stuff like that. And I pass by, I'm like, God damn, this mother looks good.
I appreciate it, dude. Yeah, I mean, it's a nice shop. I mean, it's not, the most elaborate, you know, and I don't have marble floors and I don't, you know, there's dust in here. We are a working shop.
As you should be.
We toe a very fine line from like production detail to like Concours level detailing.
Okay.
And we designed it that way. So like, it's not the prettiest, cleanest shop all the time, but it's fun as hell.
Yeah.
And it's really bizarre because we don't get judged like by clientele.
Okay.
And some of the richest people you'll ever meet in your life, like they come in and they like want to sit down on this dirty ass bench and, you know, right next to a bottle of Compound, and they like just taking it in, you know, it's like an experience. I'm like, hey, whatever. Can I get you a drink?
Before the show too? Or did that change?
Oh, it's always been like, yeah, Reds has always been like that.
Okay. Okay.
And, you know, the show didn't do much for us in that regard. And that I'm not like trying to be arrogant or anything, but like everybody in the local area pretty much knew about us.
Yeah.
And we designed this place to be kind of like, I don't know, it's weird, man. There's this vibe here. Like you are part of the family when you're here.
It's awesome.
You know, if you got a garage lot full of cars, most people come up and if they're asking about a quote on a job, they want to come in, they want to look at the stuff that's going on, they want to look at the cars around them, ask questions. Then, you know, we get them a bottle of water and the next thing you know, they're sitting down and they're like, oh yeah, I remember this, blah, blah, blah. Telling their life story. It's been an hour and a half, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't know, you know, it's just the way it's always been. After the show, all the show really did was like bring people from like all over the country. Yeah. So like we'll have people calling us from like California or, you know, other states to get jobs done. But like, I mean, dude, I was sitting there smoking a cig on the front parking lot and like this minivan pop. No, it was a Toyota Highlander. Rolls up and like six grown-ass adults pop out. No, it was three grown-ass adults, two children. Kids pop out of this thing like some Ninja Turtles. And they come running up and they're like, oh, my God, I can't believe we're here. Blah, 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 blah. And they came from Canada.
What?
Yeah, bro. They drove like, I forget, some ridiculous, like, 18 hours or something like that. And we had family here, so we loved the show. The kids loved the show. That was one of the cool things about the show is that like kids loved it for some reason. So like we get kids coming up and they like make their parents bring them up here. And I got stickers on deck. So I just hand out a sticker and like, you know, if I got a t-shirt size that'll fit them, I'll give it to them.
Yeah.
And just make their day. That was cool. That was a cool thing about the show. And the producers, like the producers that did the show are like friends of mine now.
Okay.
And they're really, really. Dude, they're so cool. They're like the coolest people. So yeah.
That's awesome. And I'm trying not to segue too far from what we originally were talking about, but how did the show come about? Like how did have that come to your lap?
Dude, they hit me up on social media.
Isn't that crazy?
No bullshit. No bullshit. I have no idea what really goes on in the world outside of like Life of Noxie, dude. I do me. I have fun, you know, I get to, you know, build and plan and create and, you know, I have fun with like some of my colleagues in this industry, you know, that become friends. And that's it. You know, we don't go to local car shows like representing our brand. We go to local car shows just to hang out.
Yeah.
And we've always been like that. Like what stays in the, like what goes on in those four walls is like my world, right? So you know, you get people reaching out on Instagram and Facebook and social media and whatnot. And like, I mean, we've had a couple posts hit like, you know, 1.5, almost 2 million views.
Okay.
So me just being an idiot and having fun and then like all of a sudden it's like, hey, we're so-and-so with, you know, blah, 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 production company. And I'm like, yeah, right. Yeah. Right. Oh, sure you are. I was like, let me guess. You want my social security number, right? Yeah. Can we verify you through PayPal? Here's my WhatsApp.
Or you know? Jobs today.
Yeah. Here's my WhatsApp number, right? Yeah. And I was like, okay. You know, and I was giving them the guffy. And then the next thing you know, it was like, they emailed. And I was like, And it was the same thing. So I looked these people up. And I put a couple of my friends on it, which are like, legit sleuth foots, like they'll find you, they'll find everything about you. So I tap into them every once in a while, either when I'm really scared or really excited. It came back and it was like all legit, and like this person was legit, and everything that they were saying and their profile pictures and everything, it all lined up. And I'm like, this isn't really happening.
Oh man.
So yeah, it was real.
Yeah.
And then like it was so mysterious too, because it was like, oh, we want you to do this TV show, but like we can't tell you anything about the TV show. And I'm like, what kind of show are we talking about? Like, I'm not gonna be on Real Housewives, dog.
Real Detailers of Atlanta.
Yeah, like, what is this?
Yeah.
And of course, I think everybody going into a show like is like, oh, they're gonna make me look like an idiot. I'm like, I do that enough by myself. I don't need their help. There's nothing they can do. They might razzle dazzle it up a little bit, but they can't beat me in my own game. So yeah. I was just like, all right, whatever.
Yeah.
And then the interview started and it just got like, it got intense. It got surreal at like the, like, I think it was like the last little bit, like the actual call.
Yeah.
Like we hadn't heard from him for like 6 months, dude. You do these video, yeah, you do these interviews and you do these like questionnaires and then you do like background checks and all this crazy stuff. And then they just disappear. That's and crazy. You're like, yeah, most people are like, what's the deal? Do we get it? What's going on? You know, and I'm like, eh, whatever, back to business. And they call one day and I'm like, not picking up the shop phone. I'm like, I'm busy, damn it, you know. And well, my cell phone had rang and I didn't pick it up because I was busy. And then the shop phone rang. And then my business partner, who had already left the night, he calls me. So, of course, you know, I pick it up. I'm like, what up, Tang? And he's like, dude, these people are looking for you. You moron, you pick up your damn telephone. So, look, the shop phone rings again. And it's one of the casting director managers, whatever.
Uh-huh.
And he was like, dude, are you sitting down? And I was like, yeah. And he was like, congratulations, you just got signed to, you know, 20 episodes on the History Channel.
My God.
And all of a sudden, I was like, what, bro? I was like, are they sure, though? Like, did they spell my name right? Like, me, right? Yeah. And he, like, that was the surreal moment. And then the rest of it was just like work. Like, even today, to this day, you know, family members will be like, this is crazy. Like, I'll have it on Hulu or something and it'll be up. And they're like, you know, because you're sitting in the same room while you're on TV.
Yeah.
So, like, people get the biggest kick out of that shit.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's just like, it doesn't even register on the radar. It's just like, okay, what's next? You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. But that's kind of, I feel like, what gets you where you are in life, just being your authentic self. You call yourself an idiot, but it's you being authentic, which kind of like we were talking about before we started recording, was people aren't authentic. Like, you don't live their true passion.
Dude, it's all a flex. Like, well, not all. I don't want to say all. I don't want to speak in absolutes, but like, it is a huge flex nowadays. And, you know, like we were kind of give a preface of like the people that are actually listening, you know, like we were talking about how like I was raised, a lot of other people were raised like on achieving goals and achievements in life, you know, and to be proud of that, because even though you might not have everything you want, you got more than you had the day before, right? And that little moment of gratitude is very humbling. And it also, I think, is fundamentally a building block for true sustenance and character. So nowadays, I think the translation's kind of been misconstrued. And now it's all about like, look what I'm doing. Look how good my life is. Look how much I have, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I'm just not a fan, you know? I like genuine. I like real. I think it's why every time I talk to Jeremy, I always have like a good conversation, because the dude's just real. Like, he'll pour his heart out to you. He'll be vulnerable with you. He'll tell you where he's at. He'll tell you, you know, spiritually where he's at, mentally, whether he's frustrated, you know. And like, I mean, you got a guy who started that business out of the back of a damn pickup truck. And that's the only other person I know that shares like that same story. And while I was doing that, I was watching him.
Right.
Well, I was in the back of my pickup truck. So it was like, dude, this dude is grinding. I need to grind. I get it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Jeremy, like I said, we did an episode a couple weeks ago. And, you know, I told him on the phone one day, I was like, you're like one of the biggest names in the detailing industry. but you stay in your own lane. Like, you're not out there flashing. You're not going to, like, doing all this stuff. You're just doing you, just like you are. And it's worked out really well.
Dude, it's funny you say that, like, staying in your own lane. And that's, like, been, like, a relatively well-adopted phrase, right? Especially lately. Like, you see that within the last couple of years. You see people like, stay in your own lane, bro. Jeremy Stevens created the lane.
100%.
Like,
I love that, dude.
The dude, and I know this, like, I mean, I'm very good friends with him, and we had a lot of conversations where, like, the dude was getting beat. I mean, there was so much hate going towards him and Shine Supply for literally no fucking reason. And it was just because he was becoming successful. And I think that, like, if you follow him and you see some of the cryptic stuff that he says about, like, you know, his slogans or his phrases that he'll upload to be, you know, uplifting to people that might be struggling. But, like, it's always like, you know, walking through the, you know, fire and the darkness. And he's big on that. And I think that that's because there were multiple chapters, not just one, of his life where he had to endure through his business, through personal stuff, you name it. And, like, as he's doing this, trying to provide for his family and build a future for people, you have other individuals who are truly just jealous that it's working.
Yeah.
And they want to inhibit that. They want to prohibit that by hating on this dude. And this, oh, you know, it's not, you didn't actually make it. Hey, I got news for you, dude. I'm a global product developer. A lot of them don't. Yeah. If I by law could talk about it, the entire detail industry would be like, you know. So, but more importantly, you know, like, the dude looked it right in the eye and, like, he licked his wounds and he got up and he went harder.
Yeah.
Honestly. And then Shine Supply, like, doubled, and then it tripled, and then it quadrupled. And I mean, I don't even know what level that dude's at now. You know what I mean? He's in the ionosphere. But it's cool because he's still very humble, and he's, you know, there's a lot of the stuff that he thinks, like, when he, you can tell, like, he thinks in a lot of ways, like, he's still back in that truck doing mobile consume.
Yeah, 100%. And that's what keeps people grounded is remember, because it wasn't that long ago. You know what I mean?
100%. Yeah, he did that all within like 10 years. And that's the thing that I mean when I say, like, he created his own lane. Like, he really truly had to, like, kind of, like, dig deep as a human being and get past it, which is so much easier said than done when you've got hundreds of people hating you for literally no reason. You know what I mean? Can I even know this? Why is he telling me I'm a, you know, whatever, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
After a while, dude, it wears you down, you know. And I mean, I definitely know what it is. I mean, when we cut the show, dude, I had people all over the United States of America talking cash money shit. That redhead goes fucking in. Like, there was just recently, like, somebody rehashed one of the episodes on TikTok, and it went like 4 million views in less than 12 hours. And I just went in and started reading the comments. It was like 1,000 comments long. Well, they're idiots. That's just a car wash. Clearly, that's a V6 Camaro. Blah, blah, even though it said Super Sport on the side of the fucking thing. I'm like, all right. And so, like, it was comical to the point where I was like, you know what? I'm going to join the villagers, bro. I'm going to join them. And I was like, yeah, that ginger dude's a fucking moron. Yeah, like, how dare he, you know, getting in on it, boy? He's just joining with them. Hating on yourself. Fuck it. Let's have fun.
Get the algorithm cooking.
That's good time.
That's my gosh. And for those that don't know that are listening, what is the name of the show? When's it aired? Is it still on?
Yeah, it's still on. The show's name is Dirty Old Cars. It's on the History Network. I think you can find it on their YouTube, which is a lot more cost effective than getting or subscribing to History.
Yeah.
Hulu. I mean, there's a bunch of apps I think that have it out now.
Okay.
So, but yeah, it's a decent show. It's entertaining.
Yeah. That's awesome, man. Something to talk about. Something under the belt, you know?
It's all right. It's again, it's just another achievement. You're like, all right.
Yeah. But that's good. Like, you crave them, but it's not who you are, right? You do it, and then you keep pushing forward.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, You know, I've had this conversation with multiple people. Like, you will realize that you're doing something and that you're like just truly doing you when you continually get opportunities, and you're never going to know when they're coming. Hardly ever going to know when they're coming. You don't know the magnitude of them.
Yeah.
But you just don't live in fear. Like, if you're confident in yourself and it sounds fun and it's not going to hurt anybody, give it a shot.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of how I felt about it. I was like, all right, whatever. And all the opportunities that I get, like with, you know, various brands and development and stuff like that, like being able to take these projects on, that's a big deal for me, man. That's, I get really, really, really passionate about that. Because this industry is a very unique thing. I'm gonna say that with a filter on. You know, there's a lot of people that'll shit on something just for nothing, you know, and there's a lot of people that'll praise something for nothing. And if you don't have innovation and you don't have people pushing the limits or conceptually trying to push the limits, you have stagnation. It's just the same old regurgitated shit coming from different areas, you know. So like people that are in these positions to be able to either come up with the concept, which is usually what I end up doing. Like I say something crazy to a chemist or a brand and they're like, you've lost your fucking mind. And then like 6 months later, I'll get a beta running test and I'm like, yeah, that's what I thought. Who's the quiz? Some thought in the red. Yeah. Finding solutions for common problems. You know what I mean? And I've always been big on bridging gaps. So like anytime I invent something or I come up with an idea, it's usually to try to mix something, like to bridge a gap, right? Yeah. Like you got, like prime example, most recent one, wheel acid, mm-hmm. and iron remover.
Yeah.
Right. And no one's really pushed the limits to that.
Okay.
So the latest project, which I mean, it got released at SEMA 2024, so I can legally talk about it, is, you know, Carpro's Wheel X.
Yeah.
Well, it's a pH of 5.7. So it's literally right there in that like kind of floating moderate level. And it's an iron remover. So you're getting two in one in that one wheel cleaner. And I really don't, I haven't seen another brand really attack that. I know that there are acidic values and everything, but not to that extent. So that was really cool. And that was kind of like the general idea behind that whole project.
That's awesome.
We do shit like that all the time. Like I like to do shit like that all the time. When we created the Red Sticks, I think that was one of the biggest ones. You gotta, I don't know how long you went back into the rabbit hole about me, but like, you know, KXK Dynamics, when we started that company,
yeah.
The Red Sticks, like I was sitting there thinking about it and it was like, you know, back then detailers weren't really sanding and painters hated detailers because they were the wieners that pointed out their swirl marks in the paint, you know? But detailers couldn't level texture. So painters were like, dude, you're a bitch on the totem pole. Right. Yeah. And I'm like, well, what if you could bridge that gap? What if you could bring a product to the market that would bring those two sectors together and give detailers confidence to do, you know, rid removal?
Yeah.
Give painters a smaller, you know, rid blur, trash block kind of nibber, you know, and it worked. And that was one of the coolest ones. And like all of a sudden now, like, you know, sanding paint is cool.
Right. That's Miller's, dude. Yeah. I remember when I did the training at Shine in 21, we got like a little gift bag, you know, like Jeremy always does. And your stuff was in there.
Yeah. He loves.
Yeah.
He's a good dude. Yeah. His trainings are badass.
Yeah, no, that's awesome, man. And then you just released something else in the sanding realm, right?
Oh, yeah. So I'm going to bump it up a notch. And there's already stuff that's very similar with its signature, but, you know, going into this one was, I was set for a neck breaker, man. You got companies like 3M and Kovax, dude, that are just monsters.
Yeah.
And the global juggernauts, you know, and I'm just some little weirdo in a garage in Marietta, Georgia. I don't have, you know, like that's a powerful brand right there, dude.
Yeah.
You know, and what they bring to the table is such great products. I mean, I
Right.
so I'm like, all right, well, I'm gonna bite off one that, you know, it's either gonna be the biggest bulldozer I ever rode or the biggest pork chop I ever ate. I don't know. You know, let's go.
Either way.
So either way, we're gonna ride, you know. So I'm wildly fascinated with silicon carbide, and I emphasize the N because it's not organic when it has an N at the back of it. With an A, it is. So, I believe with an A, it is. Yeah. So, you have abrasives. Like standard paper is usually aluminum oxide based,
Okay.
and for years and years and years, I mean, companies like Merca, 3M, you name it, have been putting that out. And that's like the standard sheet paper stuff that you see, right?
Yeah.
And it's good. It's just like now with some of these paints, and especially like show paint, you name it, it doesn't necessarily, it grooves paint, you know, it's almost too aggressive. And like, what if in the detail industry, especially, we're just trying to like really not level texture so much as like take out defects. So like, what if we could create something? Oh,
We lost it, brother.
you're still recording?
Yeah, you're good.
Yeah, sorry about that, dude.
No, you're good.
What if you could create something that allowed technicians to alleviate defects in a panel, you know, rids, severe swirling, you name it, but still keep a relative OEM finish, the
Okay.
texture, everything like that, right? Because like, you know, that's the thing. If you're taking out like a, you know, a bunch of swirls, let's just say that it just, this panel's just so wrecked, it's roached out. It's easier to run, you know, whatever, 3,000, 5,000 across the whole panel with a DA, and then rotary buff it out, hit it with a DA, and keep it moving than it is to try to like pound that thing with a rotary or pound it with a DA. But the problem is like with aluminum oxide paper, it would just remove the texture so quick that you would have a really slick, you know, door, and then your fender and your quarter panel would be like textured up. So I wanted to switch the abrasive set, but then now you step into this realm of like consistency, right? So a sanding signature, like, and I'm not trying to talk smack, but like there are certain papers out there that are made by brands that like I'm not a fan of. They leave what's called tracers, where like the abrasive set tumbles out of the paper while you're in the process of sanding, and it puts this just long gouge across the panel, and you have to fight to get that out. And that's not necessarily user error. That's, you know, or tumbling. That's the abrasives tumbling. So, you know, there are papers out there that give a nice uniform signature when you're sanding, but the price, like Trizac, I mean, here that's like $7, $8 a sheet. You know, Kovacs is a silicon carbide base sheet paper, like literally like a piece of cloth. And it's relatively inexpensive considering, but like, what I mean? Well, what if you could merge both? What if you could attach an interface? What if you could run this on a DA? What if it had anti-clogging technology in it? What if it, you know, left a uniform, clean signature all the way across consistently? A long lifespan, you know. And like, I started rolling with it, and I finally got what I think is a really good representation of that. And I'm very excited for it to hit the market because I think it's going to expedite a lot of time. It's going to make a lot of higher end or higher level correction jobs a lot quicker. You can use this effectively and efficiently and equally wet or dry.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, you walk up to a panel and you know, you got this little rid right here, and you're in the middle of doing your compounding. You can just grab a sheet of 3000, scoot over that rid, and just keep it moving.
That's
And you're
awesome.
in the game.
That's exciting.
Yeah, that's cool. It's cool stuff. So,
How long does something like that take to develop? I mean, I know there's like a million different things, and that's a very blanket statement, but.
it all depends on what it is, right? And like with paper or a tool, something like that, not terrible. You're just going through 462,000 variants until you find that one, compounding and polishing little bit quicker. It takes a while because I always go through like systems, like but then you have like protective chemicals, and that's where it's like, for the love of God, please stop saying it lasts, beyond 5 years. I won't be able to get that old. I will die before all these coatings are done. So, that can take years,
Yeah.
which I've dedicated time to. When Beadlock Pro came out, dude, I was doing some wild stuff with that coding.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Jeremy was like, bro, I don't want to even like tell him that it does this stuff. I'm like, yeah, no, for sure. I mean, it's so cool to know. But yeah, it all depends on what it is,
Yeah.
Machines are always the funnest ones because I hammer those things. Like, and I tell them, like, look, you don't expect this back. And they're like, no. I'm like, this isn't like a $500,000 prototype, right? Like, no, we've got a couple more. I'm like, all right, well, I'm gonna put it through its cycle. Yeah, and then I melt it, I burn it up. And it's not out of ego. I'm just like, look, I know that you have to test out a spectrum. You have technicians that are light-handed and they calculate their passes, and it's just whatever the machine can do with no compression, and then you've got the guys like me that are just like, I want to go home, and this car's in my way, so I'm gonna handle my business.
I love that, dude. The car's the most great.
But yeah, it's good. It's fun. It's always fun. It's cool to see too, like when you help multiple brands, it's cool to see like when they release and the next one releases, and it's like the industry starts to grow,
Yeah, it really does, man.
And that's what it's about, right?
Yeah.
But I kind of, I get quiet. I get there's a lot of stuff that I like don't my name's not publicly on.
Yeah.
And I kind of like that too, because it's just like there it's that achievement. It's not like quiet victory
Yeah,
when
you
you
get
just
the hand
watch.
clap. It's the personal, it's the internal.
Yeah, you just watch. You watch like, 5 years later, people are still ranting and raving about this product, and you're like, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
You sit down and think about it too, it's like how many people generated enough money to feed their families from that. You're like, that's awesome.
Yeah, that's what's crazy is how you can turn, I mean, just detailing in general, what you can really accomplish with it.
Yeah, that's why I'm big on the trainings. That's why I'm big on the product development. I want this. I do it more for the industry. I mean, don't get me wrong, dollars definitely help keep the lights on.
Right.
But there's just something about it, man. You hand somebody a rotary that's never used one before because they were scared of what they saw on social media, and within 30 minutes, you got them, moving and grooving, and you see it click, like they're just empowered, and you're like, yes. Now go forth and try not to wrecketh my paint.
And if you do, call me.
Yeah, if you do, call your insurance company.
Yeah. Better buddy,
Yeah, next thing I gotta say.
Oh my gosh, dude, that's awesome. And I know earlier you mentioned you have a business partner. Have they been with you since day one?
Oh yeah, Wu-Tang and I started out of the back of his Ford Ranger. No joke, bro. Not to be crude, but I'm gonna go pee on the side of my shop, and you're coming with me. So.
We'll pause it real quick. Oh, back in action, baby.
I love that.
That's great. All right. So you and Wu Tang.
For anybody listening, he was kind enough to pause so that I could go outside and pee outside of my shop.
Absolutely.
We didn't want to bring
you up. Entrepreneurship, man, you don't know what's coming around. You got shit to do. It happens.
Yeah. That's just go with the flow, baby. I mean, you know.
That's exactly it. So tell me about you and Wu Tang, how y'all started out of the FFR, you said?
Started out of the back of his Ford Ranger. We had both worked at a detail shop, and he was like the head tech and I was the manager, and I was bringing this business like to another level. And this guy was like, he was a less than reputable character, man. You know what I mean? He is the guy that's charging people, you know, at that time, $250, $300 was a lot.
Right.
To brush their car, and then he'd scoot over it with like cleaner wax. One pad and cleaner wax it. Like, anyway, worked for this dude for like 3.5 years. Wu Tang worked for him for like, I don't know, 4 or 5 years.
Okay.
And then we come in one day, and I had just taken a vacation. It took me 18 months to save up for this. And like, I was so proud to be able to like take my mom and my dad, my girlfriend at the time, to Disney World.
Oh, sweet.
Universal and Disney World. So I had just come back, and he's sitting in this chair in Bay 2, and there's an empty chair next to him. And he's like, I walk in, I'm like, what's that? And he like pats on the side of the chair, like, come sit down kind of deal, you know?
Right.
And I come sit down, I'm like, what's good? And he's like, I don't have any more money, you got to go. And I was like, what? He's like, I don't have any more money, you got to go. I'm letting everybody go today.
Holy shit.
At that time, I had built like an 8 or 9 man team. And I'm like, are you fucking serious, dude? I was like, do you have no integrity? He's like, there's nothing I can do. I don't have any money. Get out of here. Me. So I was talking to him about acquiring the business and getting the client logs from all the people that were locals and basically taking it over and turning it into something else. And I would like went to the bank when he gave me a bunch of like rubbish P&Ls and like just Mickey Mouse shit. So I was having trouble with that. And he was lying through his teeth, come to find out. But so we all leave, and like, you know, we were selling maintenance packages, like annual maintenance packages to people. And there were a bunch of them. And he wasn't going to leave the shop. He wasn't doing anything. He was, you know, he was done. And so it was like, okay, so you're just going to screw all these people out of the thousands of dollars that they just spent with you. And like, I sold that as the manager. So I was like, it ate me up. And I was like, oh, fuck, you know? So I called these people and explained the situation. And I was like, look, this is going to sound crazy, but I can't sleep at night knowing that you paid all that money to him from a package that I created, from a package that I sold you, and you deserve to get at least your cars maintained the way that it was to you. So I'm gonna come out there. I don't have a lot of money, so I won't be able to do like really elaborate stuff, but I want to come out and I want to fulfill those contracts, whether you do or don't pay me. I don't, it's not up to me. It's more about like moral compass. So
dude, that is
the first one, dude. And like rent was due in like 13 or 14 days. Him and I were living together. We had an apartment together.
Okay.
And I had like $200 or $300 to my name. I just blown it all. I just yellowed all of it in Orlando. And you don't sell me nothing. And I was having it large. That was dumb. I was young, you know. I was in my 20s. So I went to Walmart and we got like the bare essentials, and we got in the back of his Ford Ranger and we went out to this doctor's house. And his wife was like just so happy that we were out there and loved it, blah, 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 blah. And she was like, so, and she ran through the situation again. She was like, let me get this straight. you're fulfilling his contract. So he ran away with the money and you're here fulfilling it for what reason? And I was like, because it had my name on it.
Yeah.
And my integrity is stronger than that, I guess. You know, I was like, I don't know, you know, it was really humbling. And she was like, okay. And she ran off. So we did like 3 or 4 of her cars. And then she comes out and she was like, wax them. So we waxed them. And then she was like, shampoo my floor mats. Well, shampoo the floor. The next thing you know, she comes out and she's got her little like Louis Vuitton clutch purse. And she's like, all right, I absolutely love the fact that you guys did this. I love why you did this. And I'm going to reach in my wallet. There could be $0. There could be $50,000. I don't know. She was like, but I'm going to give all of it to you. And I was like, what? And she reached in her wallet and it was like $600 and she gave it to us. And then our neighbors and then their neighbors and then their neighbors. And actually, you know, we saved up enough money. Well, lo and behold, the building was not owned by him. It was rented by him. And then I found out who the landlord was. So we had saved up. I think at that time it was like 10, 12 grand. Just hustling. I mean, you're talking about 7 days a week, 16-hour days, in doing everything we could. And I, you know, I got a meeting with them, and he was like, yeah, he's not going to renew his rent, and he owes me money, and what, you want to take the building? And I was like, I would love to. I'd love the opportunity, sir. And he's like, all right, what's going to differentiate you from every other asshole in the corner? Doing details. And like, I'm such a fat ass, like I have no idea why, but it just popped into my head and I was thinking about McDonald's and I was like, order number 3, bro. And then I sat there and thought about it and I was like, dude, that's society. Like, we've become a numeric combination. We don't have any like true identity or uniqueness anymore. And I like looked at him and I was like, you know what, I'm gonna try to bring back the days when you got what you paid for. I was like, you can't even go eat anymore without being pushed into a numeric sequence. And I was like, what if you want it like this? What if you want it like that? And I was like, I think that there are places that have a space to be able to do more of like a bespoke thing or a custom thing that allows people to feel like they're a part of it.
Yeah.
That gives them true value. And he was like, shh, that sounds real good.
That's awesome.
There's like, you got first and last month's rent. It's like, shh. I mean, that all depends on what it is. And he was like, give me 10 grand. Well, I was like, shh.
Jesus.
Yeah. So I gave him 10 grand, had like almost 2, got the lights and the water and the power turned on. I'm like 29.
Uh-huh.
And I'm shitting in my pants.
Yeah.
I just signed a $600,000 rent mortgage.
Oh my God.
At the age of 29, I was shitting. Because, you know, I mean, like, that back then, the bills, it was like, oh, bro, I just spent $50 on groceries, bro. What is this? I mean, like, now you can go into the grocery store, flap your wings 2 times, pick up a pack of gum, put it back, and you just spent $100. So, we took it over. And it was funny because before, I went back up to the building, and he was still here. He was still doing details on his own.
Yeah.
And I was like, look, I was like, this acquisition thing, like, I need more information. And I was like, where's the client logs that I have filled out for the last 3 years on all of these people and their services and their names and their phone numbers and their emails and their preferences? And he was like, oh, my wife took them home. And I was like, okay. I was like, well, if you can call her and, you know, see if you can get those, I'll come back up here tomorrow. So like on my way down the driveway, I call the shop number and his cell phone rings. And I'm like, all right.
Yeah.
Right then and there, I knew the move. He was just trying to try to rob me.
Right.
So I'm like, I'm so frustrated. I'm in tears. Like, I got tears in my eyes. You know, and I look over at Wu. Excuse me.
Bless.
And, my phone was like, bro, you want to close this tab? No. Then I'm like, dude, he's a fucking piece of shit. And he like, Wu looked over at me and he's like, none of this matters, man. You know, I was like, where we're going, it don't matter. He was like, let's just keep doing what we're doing. And I was like, okay. So as I was leaving, you know, and I called his number and I turned around and I was like, yeah, Ricky, the guy's name is Ricky. And I was like, I know what you're trying to do, dude. And I just want to let you know, mark my words, there'll be a day where we're in this building and this is our business and you're out on the streets.
Yeah.
And he was like, sure, okay. And lo and behold, man, this, the building is Threads Detail Company.
Dude, that is awesome. So, I was going to ask if it's the building that you're in now.
It's Threads Detail Company. And he's out, you know, on the streets doing mobile detailing. And, like, it's funny because, like, I'm one of those people that's very, like, nostalgic. So, I like to implement in everything I'm doing, like, inventions, you name it,
yeah,
products, whatever. There's always, like, a we call it, you know, like when they have like the secret eggs or whatever it is.
Eggs, yeah, yeah.
It's right, yeah, yeah. So like they're all over the shop. Like prime example, like in Bay 2, the exact two chairs where he told me he was no longer going to employ us are still sitting.
Dude, that's awesome.
Isn't that right?
Oh, man, that gave me chills, bro.
That's a daily reminder. It reminds me every day. I pass by it every day 10, 20 times.
Yeah.
I'm literally looking at him right now. Like that's a daily reminder. Like, it'll all be gone in a second, you know? But it's cool because if you build something with your own two fucking hands, there's something to be said about it, even though it's not the most pristine. I mean, we don't have marble floors, you know? We don't have the super cool hex lights that make you an official detailer. Like,
oh, shit, Red. You got to close it up here.
Yeah. You know? But what we do have, we built with our own two hands.
Yeah. Good for you, man. I'm fucking proud of you, bro. Not that you need my
shit.
But, you know.
No, I appreciate it. It's wild too, because every once in a while you need to like check yourself, you know, like stop, smell the roses before life kind of passes you by. And like every once in a while, Tang and I'll be in the lobby and be like, bro, you remember when we were, you know, doing this. And I just start laughing and be like, yeah. And I was like, isn't it crazy to know that there are detail shops across the world right now that have your company shirt, t-shirt on?
100%.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, it's weird.
Yeah, but it's the consistency, it's the steps, right? Putting in the work.
That's it.
Yeah. That's awesome, dude. It really, really is. And I was trying to think of what I was gonna say next, and it just fucking,
I totally just melted your brain, bro.
Yeah, no, you did. At least nerd driving, son. Team member staff, is it just you and him?
Yeah, right now it's just him and I. We had a helper, which is so unique, dude, in the sense of how we work.
Yeah.
Like, Tang and I have been doing it for so long together that, like, we don't even have to, like, talk, you know? I see him work on something, I'm like, okay, here's the next step. Mm-hmm. But, like, we've tried to bring people in, and it'll take them 6 months to learn how we, you know, we want them to wash a car.
Yeah.
Or, you know, paint correction. I mean, I can train people all day long. But that's just like scratching the surface, you know, like we get so many various types of vehicles in here and various types of conditions. I mean, literally on my, I've got over 30 polishers on my wall, you know, it's like what tool for the job, when, how much material do you have? What service is it? Blah, 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 blah. It just takes them so long. And everybody comes in, they want 80 grand an hour, you know? And you're just like, dude, you know? We've had guys come in and they want, literally the guy wanted $85,000 a year. And I was like, I'm not paying you that, but I will start you super healthy because you have experience. Let's rock and roll.
Yeah.
And it was like month two, the dude literally sat down on the garage floor and started crying because he forgot to get bugs off the front of a car. And I'm like, all right, you know, like we can't be doing this.
It's just
you're not, I mean, you're in the nest, but you're not in the nest like that. You know what I mean? Like, this is just detailing, bro.
Yeah.
How are we doing? But you know, and then bringing people on too is always really kind of cool. And I adopted that like really quick. Like we had guys that like, you know, they were struggling. That's where I started really leaning. I'm like these people that are trying to get their lives back together. For whatever reason, right? And as long as they show that willingness of hope, I would invest in them. And like, I mean, there was a couple people I bought cars for them so they could get to and from work, you know, paying, you know, child support or probate, you know, fines and fees, like, because I know what it's like to like be given a chance, you know. I was 29 years old with, you know, fucking pimples on my face, and I thought I was doing something with 10 grand in my pocket. You know, that's piss money.
Right.
And somebody gave me the opportunity to run a facility that's, you know, well over $1 million.
Yeah.
And that's not an everyday kind of thing. So I know what it's like. And I always like, if I have the opportunity, try to do the same thing for somebody else. I mean, you never know. You know, I'm pretty sure one of the dudes is still driving this busted ass Toyota Camry I bought for him. I paid like $750 for this thing, and then gave somebody like $300 for, I think it was like an alternator or a fuel pump or something. That was the only thing wrong with it.
Yeah.
And then like, it's like $250,000. I was like, yes, that was a super success story.
Oh man. I love it, dude. I love it. What's next for you, man?
Shoot, I don't know. I wake up tomorrow, I give thanks. Then, you know, start plotting and scheming on what's the future is going to hold. I've got a lot of really cool stuff in the queue right now that I'm working on. Legally, I can't really talk about. But, you know, it's still cool. There's a lot of cool stuff coming out. And if it pans out the way that I've kind of planned it and seen it, you know, it will change things.
Okay.
You know, and I like to go from different directions too. So you have like the silicon carbide, and then maybe we'll do something for DIY.
Okay.
Right. And try to get all of this to level up, and then get other brands to see, oh shit. You know, I'm definitely talking to Jeremy right now, trying to get 2025 to swing in with, more trainings.
Okay.
I want to provide education. I see an abundance of misinformation being spread and cancerous individuals that are clearly just looking for a paycheck.
Yeah.
And I don't like the influence of that. I don't want what we work so hard to do day in and day out, and how long we've been doing it, to go to the wayside. I don't want it to be diluted. I don't want it to be pushed into a different category that, you know, customers think they can do it themselves kind of thing. I want there to remain value for us. And I am absolutely adamant about that. I say that with the utmost conviction. So, I'm probably going to go out to Cali next year and put the pen to the paper, try to figure out how we can, you know, get the trainings together, more product development, you know, all sorts of stuff. So 2025 will be interesting. It'll be a very interesting year.
I feel like, honestly, talking to a lot of different people, I feel like there is a lot of momentum in a good direction.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't want the same thing over and over and over again.
Yeah, no, 100%. We'll agree to that, man.
You know, I am one of those people that will listen to the same song over and over and over 400 times. But it's weird. It's like when you see the same thing over and over again, you're just like, ugh, dude, get out of here. I don't ever want to see you again. And I feel like some aspects of the detail industry are starting to become that. You know, like the word ceramic.
And graphene.
Ceramic this. You know, now you have consumers that are like, oh yeah, ceramic, ooh, right? That's not a good thing.
No.
You know, PPF is following suit in a lot of the areas, right? And you know, enough people that are gonna go on their driveway that are gonna try to do PPF, but you never know. I want there to be, you know, uniqueness and value to what we do. I want the newer, younger generation, which are hustlers. It's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, the last probably four or five trainings I've done, I've gotten like 19-year-olds, 21-year-olds, 23-year-olds. It's just like, what? This is, you know, you want to run a rotary, you know, and they're like spots with it, which is amazing. Like the last three that I've trained have just been like, as soon as they picked it up, they just knew. They watched me long enough, and then all of a sudden they just started picking it up, and you're like, wow. I want that to be a thing.
Yeah.
So I might perish trying to do it, but
it'll be worth
going to anyways, right? Might as well do it. Well, do something you love.
That's what I was about to say. Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I got excited.
Nah, dude, no, that's exactly it. Like, we're all about that. We're all gonna go there. It just depends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is so, Jeremy still doing trainings? I was thinking about that the other day. I was like, this man's been that right. busy.
He locked those up. He put those on pause just to kind of like focus on family and focus on projects.
Yeah.
But then old Moxie gives him a call, and now he's, you know, oh, you know what, dude? You know, so I want it, and I love it. I love it when he's got a fire in his belly, because, I mean, we've had multiple conversations about, like, apprehension and pursuing this or going this direction throughout the years. And, like, I'm like, bro, what are you doing, dude? You know what I mean? Like, we all need nudges every once in a while from, like, people that know us. And I'm one of those people for sure. And, you know, so is he sometimes. So, like, you know, it's just like, dude, you know you got this, bro. He's like, all right. And he does it. And it's like, just like, amazing thing. And I'm like, see what I'm saying? Like, dude, if I would have kicked your ass out the car, where would you be now? You know, like,
right.
And it's so funny too, because he's got it in him. Like, I mean, dude, B-Log Black, have you seen the rollout for that?
Yeah.
That is one of the most beautifully displayed.
It is. We got it close up right now, dude. It's elegant.
Elegance. Like, I told him when he was showing it to me, I was like, dude, if Noxie was a coating, that's exactly what I would look like, dude. Like, all black with that, like, sharp little metal card. Like, I'm gonna get ya.
Yeah. Said, fuck
yeah. That's right. It's like, hang up this, had this B-Lock Black Platinum card that came in my box. Yeah, that's it. But that's what I'm saying. It's like stuff like that. Like, I'm like, bro, what do you, quit sandbagging, dog? You know, like, I know you need a little encouragement. Everyone does, right? Every once in a while when you're apprehensive about something or you're just kicking the idea around too much. But then, like, you know, you get him to that point of committing, and the next thing you know, he just unrolls brilliance, and you're like,
absolutely. Well, then you got, like, Colby's young, youthful spin on it, too.
You can't.
You know that, dude?
You can't even see that kid, dude. Nobody can see that kid. Like, that kid's future is going to be insane. The fact that him and Jeremy are doing that, like, by themselves without a professional production crew. And Chark, I mean, this is coming from someone who, my director of photography for the show, was literally an Emmy winner. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I have been around the people. My head producer, like, made movies with Jim Carrey. Like, I know what it is. And, like, for me to sit here and be like, that kid is the hotness.
Yeah.
That's insane. And he's got his own aesthetic, too, already, which is really, like, indicative of, like, a true artist. So.
Exactly. Well, there's that. And then there's, like, you know, the Jeremy raising of him built into him and then putting his own little twist to it. It's such a great recipe.
Yeah. Yeah, dude, that's solid.
Yeah.
It's good stuff. And it's clean.
Yeah, 100%. Well, Aaron, I don't want to keep you any longer, bro. Like, I'm over here for everyone still, and it's been awesome. But I also know how work goes. Duty calls.
Yeah, I got to run. But it has been awesome. I really appreciate the invite. Let's do a couple more later on.
Yeah, no, we're going to have to, man. So, everybody, don't forget, letsgrow.work, #LFGFam, where success is in the details. We'll talk to you all again soon. Knox, thanks so much, brother.
Of course, dude.